Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Well, welcome back to the Soapbox. Welcome to 2015, and welcome to the beginning of our seventh year on the air for the Soapbox. I can hardly believe time has gone so fast, but I'm also very proud of this show and proud that we've been able to stay on the air and in the streets for so long, especially when we started when Obama was first elected, in the high of the hypnosis, and people were still very addicted to their hopium. And some people still are. So that's why Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox is so important, in my opinion. And I think that's why we have been able to stay on the air and in the streets for so long. Well, our first guest of 2015 is going to be talking about a very intriguing subject, abolishing the CIA. Our first guest is peace journalist, self-described peace journalist, Robert Kohler. He's an award-winning Chicago-based journalist and nationally syndicated writer. His book, Courage Grows Strong at the Wound, from Zeno's Press, is still available. Contact him at kohlercw@gmail.com. That's kohlercw@gmail.com, or visit his website at commonwonders.com. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Bob Kohler, and we'll be talking about a subject that few people talk about in the wake of the torture report, abolishing the evil CIA altogether. Bob Kohler, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. Great to be here.
Well, Happy New Year. We're talking on the second day of the new year, and so I want to wish you and your family peace, and I want to wish the entire world peace and prosperity for 2015.
Thank you so much, and I will second that wish for peace and prosperity.
Not just for the 1%, but for right. 100%.
Yes, for the 100%.
Yeah.
In fact, for the whole planet.
Exactly. Bob, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, your website, your story, and, you know, just what you think is pertinent. Then we'll get into our topic.
Sounds good. I am a syndicated columnist. I have a website called commonwonders.com. I write a weekly column that's syndicated by the Chicago Tribune Syndicate, which is now called Tribune Content Agency. Mm-hmm. So I go out to a number of papers around the country. The column shows up on Huffington Post and Common Dreams most weeks, and other places on the web as well. I've got a book out called Courage Grows Strong at the Wound that kind of looks at peace from both inner and outer perspectives. I live in Chicago. I'm a, you know, a career journalist. And the column is about politics and current events, but when I describe the column, I sometimes call them prayers disguised as op-eds.
Uh-huh.
I try to look at the spiritual, find the spiritual dimension of, the news of the day.
Right. So, and you call yourself a peace journalist. Which...
Yes, correct. Yes, that's right.
I'm glad that that's marketable.
Well, is it marketable? I don't know if marketable is really the right word, but I didn't invent the expression. The idea or the phrase.
Uh-huh.
There are others that call themselves peace journalists. It's, you know, it's a term that is still in the process of defining itself. However, I would say that one of the characteristics of a peace journalist is that that kind of journalist will really look hard to look at the complexity of any given situation, including, you know, where violence has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And will work hard at not looking at an us versus them attitude, good guys versus bad guys, but look at the complexity and, of course, always look at everyone affected by, you know, a war situation. But it's not only about war. It's about everything. Every human interaction, you know, can either be done, you know, with peace as the guiding principle or something else,
right,
like domination.
Well, unfortunately, the empire and the global establishment, they don't really, it doesn't appear that they make their decisions based on the peace and well-being of people around the world. And I must
right.
I must be on your mailing list because I get your column every week. And one, and I should be in better contact with you because I do read them every week. But one really like struck me, and that's when I contacted you to see if you would like to do an interview. It was called "Abolishing the CIA." And that was after the torture report came out. Your column came out on December 18th, 2014. And you were on vacation. And I was being the chief cook and bottle washer for my daughter, who was in the end days of a very trying pregnancy. So we finally connected to talk about this. But who would have known just in... let's see, 2 weeks, the torture report would have totally disappeared from the airwaves or from any kind of, anything. And so I think it got knocked off the consciousness of people by that terrible movie, The Interview, and the terrible publicity stunt Sony played about that North Korea hacked their emails and blah, blah, blah. And it's been proven that actually it was an internal thing. And the President of the United States actually even commented on it. So what are your thoughts about that, Bob?
Well, last week we actually, you know, I was with visiting family and we actually tried to watch the interview so I could have an opinion on the movie itself, but
mm-hmm.
we were unsuccessful at being able to watch it. So I can't say, you know, talk about the merits of the movie.
Right. No, I don't.
However, that's not even important.
The important thing is
insanity. It's an insane
right.
and ridiculous situation. Yeah, I mean, why would the government of North Korea do precisely the move that would guarantee widespread audience for, you know,
right.
an otherwise probably forgettable movie? And so, well, I don't know what more to say than that. It's a very, you know, the American media, the mainstream media, I should say, you know, specializes in trivial and passing news. And even if the news is deep and profound and disturbing, like the Senate torture report,
right.
it will trivialize it, take the surface of it, you know, put it out there for however long, maybe as much as a week at the most, and then, you know, it goes away as the next piece of trivial news or the next surface analysis of a, you know, conflict situation, you know, whether it's domestic conflict or international, comes up as something to look at and to, you know, kind of like reality TV. Every war is sort of a reality TV thing, you know,
right.
where we can... you know, thrill at the horror of it from the comfort of our living rooms, and then move on and, you know, watch the ads, of course, and then move on to the next thrilling piece of, you know, horrible reality that is presented as news. That's not what I would call peace journalism. Take news and look at it as, you know, reality TV or reality whatever.
Well, they certainly, it's certainly been a manipulatable, if that's a word.
Yeah.
Medium forever, but certainly our country and the global establishment has taken Edward Bernays and his manipulation of public opinion to the nth degree, and
absolutely,
they become masters at it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole war establishment, I would say the most important part of war at this point is public relations.
Yes.
Manipulating the public to acknowledge that we need to be at war because of X, Y, or Z.
Uh-huh.
And it's so, once the communist empire collapsed, that whole paradigm of enemy, we lost our enemy, and
right,
the war establishment went into kind of a dangerous free fall, people were talking about a peace dividend and stuff like that.
God forbid,
oh my gosh!
Right?
So it took them, a generation to recover and figure out who the next enemy, needed to be, and they came upon terrorism, which is the same thing as evil itself. So it'll never be destroyed.
Right.
So it's the perfect enemy, the perfect enemy. We will never get rid of evil. All we will do is, perpetuate it ad infinitum and then be able to play war and build weapons and, keep the war economy prosperous until civilization itself collapses and perhaps the planet collapses.
Right.
I mean, the biggest polluter is war, among whatever else, its horrible effects are.
It's a self-perpetuating machine with being the biggest polluter, being the biggest consumer of fossil fuels, the military industrial complex, and then going into countries that have huge reserves of fossil fuels. It really is like a perpetual motion murder machine.
Yeah, that gets a free pass. The regulations that govern, civilian industry, et cetera,
right,
don't apply in so many instances to the military. Do not apply, the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan where the military just gets rid of everything, here in the States, there's some kind of regulation about, burning and, burning of waste. There's none. The military follows no regulation whatsoever when it does that in the countries where, that it has invaded and occupied. And I mean, that's just one small example.
Right.
But
as pitiful as they are in the United States, they don't even apply to the U.S. military. So everywhere they go, it's a Superfund site.
Yeah, right. Everywhere they go, it's that's exactly right. Without the Superfunds there,
Well, I belong to a political party here in California called the Peace and Freedom Party, and one of our planks, we're a socialist, feminist, environmental party, and one of our planks in the party is that to abolish the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, whatever has initials on it that are, the national security state. And, of course, people look at us, that's what people think is like one of our wackiest planks in our platform. But you wrote an article after the torture report came out called Abolishing the CIA. And you actually, of all of the commentary or pieces I saw about that, you were the only one that actually, proposed that or said that.
Yeah.
So talk about that, Bob.
Well, all right. Well, as I was, researching and absorbing the torture report, I came upon, actually it was a piece that Ralph Nader wrote, and he mentioned that in the 90s, both uh-huh. in 91 and 95, then Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan actually proposed legislation to abolish the CIA.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that's interesting. So
really?
I started to look into that.
Uh-huh.
I started to research, what he did, and it was absolutely stunning and fascinating to imagine somebody at the political level of senator, U.S. senator, actually standing up against this sacrosanct and horrible agency.
Right.
His focus was not on things like torture or even the other horrible games that the CIA plays, like undermining governments, helping get rid of Mohammad Mossadegh in Iraq and Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala and Allende, of course. I mean, that wasn't even part of it. It was
mm-hmm.
just the whole insanity of perpetuating secrecy, and he has a speech to the Senate introducing the 1995 legislation. Moynihan says, secrecy is a disease. It causes, let me get that quote right here. Secrecy is a disease. It causes hardening of the arteries of the mind. And the world prospers by openness, is his point. And I thought that was wonderful and wonderfully put. I think there's more to the problem and the issue than Moynihan deals with in that legislation. But what impressed me about the legislation, or what struck me, what stunned me, was this is so... Why not do this as the focal point for change?
Uh-huh.
We can't just make the CIA nice. That's not going to work. We have to get rid of the concept of this secret agency that, not only gathers intelligence, blah, 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 and, some intelligence, gathering is, of course, a necessary thing. But, it doesn't have to be in that sort of secrecy, but... Even more important, all of the dark ops that CIA has always been involved in undermine the concept of peace, undermine national as well as global security. I can't fathom the good or the value of the CIA, and it occurred to me, this is a great focal point for a peace movement,
mm-hmm.
the abolition of the CIA, and it's doable. Moynihan, proved that it can reach the level of legislation, and if it can reach the level of legislation, then with a little bit more effort and push, or maybe a lot more, perhaps that legislation can be passed and some kind of change gets underway as the dismantling of the war machine begins.
Well, and it's like it's a relatively new agency. It hasn't been around
right.
since 1776.
Right.
One of its first, like you mentioned, major meddling around the world that has really had disastrous effects was the ousting of Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran in the
yeah.
early 50s. And so I forget what question I was going to follow up with that, but Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I had a question after that.
Yeah.
But like I told you before the interview, my mind is kind of mush from a week of watching my grandkids and my daughter having her baby and stuff like that. So maybe you have a comment about that.
Well, I mean, one of the points that Moynihan made in his speech was that all of the stuff, all of the secret, you know, twisting and game playing that the CIA did, that is not what caused the collapse of the Soviet Union. Essentially making the point that this stuff that they do, that is so, you know, serious, you know, and secret, doesn't help anybody. It doesn't contribute to American security.
Nothing.
And it certainly doesn't, I mean, you know, in Iran, the Mossadegh government was a populist, socialist, government that was nationalizing, the British Petroleum and that kind of stuff. So really bad for, you know, Western corporations. So the CIA was in there to right that wrong, the wrong of messing with, you know, the profit of Western corporations. In other words, post-colonial colonialism, So that was the role of the CIA, but it's done in secret. So there's no publicity about it. There's no national conversation or debate. But there's no national conversation or debate about 99% of the war economy, of the military-industrial complex, of the need for perpetual war. All we get in the media are, you know, hints at, well, what's the next war going to be? But there's always a next war that we have to fight. And that has got to stop. And it seems to me that focusing on the CIA is a way to focus on changing the war paradigm, the domination paradigm. We can't live that way.
Well, I remember where I was going with my last comment. Yay.
Okay.
We learned that in the run up to the invasion, shock and awe of Iraq, that Dick Cheney actually went to the CIA many times, I forget the number of times, to actually hand pick intelligence that he wanted to use to justify the invasion and occupation of Iraq.
Right. Yeah, as Jim McGovern, the former CIA analyst,
Ray McGovern is a congressperson.
It doesn't, torture does not yield useful intelligence, but if you want bad intelligence, it works like a charm.
Right.
And so they tortured, somebody, got somebody to say, Saddam is linked to Al-Qaeda. And so then that becomes, okay, look, here's our intelligence. It says that we've got to go to war with Iraq. And because that was Colin Powell used, torture, bad intelligence obtained by torture in that speech before the UN in 2002. And, it goes back to marketing and public relations. It gets the thing you need, this piece of data, intelligence, that you need. Look at this. And so then we build up for war, and too much of the public, once again, just falls for it and goes along.
Well, that's what's distressing to me, Bob. What's distressing to me is that not so much that the empire is doing this, because it's always done this, but that the public falls for it time and time again. It's almost like they just are going, change the name of the country, change the name of the evil dictator, and we already have the propaganda in place. We'll just put it out there, and people start waving their flags.
Absolutely. it's all, I mean, and I look at that, that's gets at the deeper question. It gets at what I would even call the spiritual question. What, who are we as a people? How, what is our identity? How do we identify ourselves? And we identify ourselves, we need an enemy to identify ourselves.
Right.
We can project all that's wrong, you know, with us on the enemy, and then we become good. And, you know, it's as old as, you know, civilization and beyond, you know, I mean, God knows how old this, the practice of scapegoating somebody is, but that's what it's about, is scapegoating, creating an enemy and scapegoating. And so the public is pulled into that paradigm just as the government and the, you know, the corporate beneficiaries of, you know, of war are, you know, manipulate that. You know, we live in an us versus them paradigm, and that is what has to change.
I think the us versus them is the so-called 99% versus the 1%. And,
yeah.
You know, not like my son against the people of Iraq or...
Right.
You know, it's us in the 99% that are fighting their wars, dying and killing for them. And, you know, of course, Smedley Butler said war is a racket. We pay,
yeah.
And they profit.
Right.
We pay the terrible price, and they rake in the profits and the power, whatever else gets them off and turns them on. You know,
it's
hard to even think of it because we're not in that mindset.
Right. Well, I still think that it's important, even considering the 99% versus the 1%, or more likely the 0.01%, even that, I don't like to think of it as an us versus them.
Actually,
conflict.
It's a them versus us. You know,
well,
they've declared war on us.
There's a them versus us, and the way to overcome that is not to defeat them, you know, so much as to refuse to play the game that want us to play.
Absolutely,
just
I agree.
Move on from, and don't play that game. Find a way to create, you know, something other than a military-industrial economy and a military-industrial mindset. And there's so many, you know, there's so much going on that is about connecting. I mean, the environmental movement means connecting with, you know, with Mother Earth and with nature, and that's crucial. I mean, re-entering the circle of life is kind of how I look at it. However we do it. I sometimes look at humanity as sort of in its teenage phase, and it has to, you know, and it's feeling enormous power, but now it has to become an adult. And that means accepting not just being, ooh, tough, but being responsible and understanding the value of your surroundings. That's the simple way to put it, but that's kind of how it goes deep for me.
Breaking the cycle of death and joining the circle of life.
I have
one more question for you.
Okay.
And it's kind of off the subject, but it's kind of on the subject.
Okay.
I think in the modern era, 9/11, 2001 is kind of like our, I don't want to say defining moment, or I mean, in the history of the world, not so much, but in the history of the United States. And of course, on 9/11, whatever happened that day, and I'm talking about a spiritual response, like you were talking about. Whatever happened that day, and there's going to be, you know, a different theory for different theorists. I don't want to call them conspiracy theorists because,
I mean, I know this
government lies, and I know that they lied about 9/11, but
yeah.
But whatever happened that day, we know what we saw what happened. But whatever caused it, whatever planned it, you know, I'm sure that evil CIA somewhere had something involved in it. But the response, to me, the response should have been a national like retreat. Like, what? Let's just say that it was these, people from other countries that attacked us because of our way of life, because of our wars, because of our materialism, because of our, raping and pillaging of the planet. We could have looked and had a national conversation about that. And we could have said, how can we as members of a world community do better to make friends with the world, make friends with the other nations, make friends with the billions of people on this planet. But instead, of course, we took the opposite.
Right. I agree with that. I fully agree with that. I mean, the initial response was to give and to sacrifice those, everybody that wanted to give blood to help the firemen and the police that ran into the buildings, to help and rescue who lost their lives. Those are, such extraordinary models of giving and sacrifice that are real and true. And that should have been the model, and it wasn't, it was in the initial aftermath, that the giving and the uniting and the being together was was threatening to become, how we reacted. But then the Bush administration took command, and said we have to eliminate the enemy that did this, and, not as some kind of a police action finding, a small cell of whatever, if that's who did it, but a large-scale invasion, shock and awe, blah, 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 killing enormous amounts of civilians, wrecking a country, 13 years later, Afghanistan, like Iraq, is just, in utter, it's a failed state, et cetera, and that's, that was not, the worst possible response to, this horror called 9/11, is what we chose.
One thing, if I had if I had one wish,
that
would come true, would be that that the people, my fellow citizens of this nation that I reside in, would be like to care about everybody on the planet, not just Americans. We see school shootings and. And then there's the president bombs. We have drone bombings of people all over the world. Wedding parties, funerals, neighborhoods. And it's just to care about everybody on the planet, not just us.
I will join that wish. I absolutely agree. I totally agree.
Well, Bob Kohler, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I really enjoyed this interview, but tell us your website one more time. And I would encourage people to sign up for your newsletters. And when we send out the newsletter for this show, we'll have links to your website and things like that also. So tell my listeners how they can get a hold of you.
Well, the website is called commonwonders.com. And so that's, you can always find my latest columns up there. Kohler, KOEHLERCW@gmail.com is a way to reach me. And so I always welcome hearing from readers, and anyone interested can sign up for the column in the weekly mailing list. So that's basically it.
Well, Bob Kohler, again, like I said, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, and best wishes for the new year for you and your family.
Thank you, Cindy, and same to you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Cindy Sheehan Soapbox for today. I hope you learned something as always, and I hope you were inspired and informed. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, my production assistant, Dee Dee Miller. I'd like to thank Bob Kohler for giving us such a great interview, and I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. And I'd really like to wish Cindy Sheehan Soapbox a very happy 7th birthday, and I hope that we are able to continue the show with your help and your support. Go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com and donate if you are able. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.